Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 3 The Sameness of the Universe and the Lord Page 42 Vriti. Next, the author substantiates the Parinamabad by citing from Srimad Bhagavatam in order to establish the non-difference of the universe with the Lord. So the Parinamabad then is there because of the Satkaryavad, right? The Satkaryavad is the main what you have in the cause, the qualities in the cause you'll see in the effect, right? Because the effect is simply a particular quality in the cause, that's now being manifest, right? And so, therefore, and how is that happening? It's a transformation, right, of the energies, not of the original cause itself. Does that make sense? So the two go together.
So, Maharaj, in this Adhikarna, Satkaryavam, Sat means a law, as a karya is the manifestation, effect. So, as the Lord is Karana, the Karyam is within the Karana. So, this Adhikarna, saying that sameness of the Lord. The previous Adhikarna establishes the Parinamba, Shakti Parinamba, where there is a difference.
Means you're going to have is that you have to have is that there's sameness and there's difference. So, it all goes back, Achinta Beta Beta Tattva is the main point of the philosophy. But then within that, then you'll have the Satkaryavad and the Parinamavad.
So in these two adhikarnas, it was divided and then through the Shakti Parinamavad, so Vivartavad and other philosophy of Vedantists being defeated.
Yes, because there's always going to be, with any of these other philosophies, it's because they don't understand these three. They either don't accept them, don't use them, don't know them, and so they come up with a problem like that. So that's why Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, that'll take care of that. And then within that you have Satkaryavad and you have the Parinamavad. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, means the Achinta Beda Abeda. The Beda itself is like Shakti Parinamava. Abeda Tattva is Satkaryavad. Can you say like that?
Well, the thing is it has both. It means that Chinta Beta Beta Tattva will be the present in everything because it's the philosophy how you interpret everything, right? So that hermeneutics will be the hermeneutics how you see, how you try to understand. Does that make sense? And so then you'll see that within. So one may emphasize one thing, one may emphasize the other. The Satkaryavad is more on the cause. But it's also the point is the effect is non-different from the cause, but the Parinama means that there is the transformation. But that transformation, even though it is the Lord, is separate from that. You know, right? So the cause is separate from the effect, but at the same time as the effect is nothing else other than the cause. So therefore, you can say Krishna is the effect; he is the nimitta, right? So that's the whole thing. He is everything, but at the same time as he is a person, is different.
So in both the Vadas, Shakti Parinamavad and Satkaryavad, in both of them it's been Achintya Veda Abhya Tattva is there, but the emphasis is different.
Yeah, the one you're emphasizing more on the cause, but the effect is there. You see it's there. The other one you're talking about the effect, but the point is you have to understand where it's come from. It's just because if you're saying Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, then you're going to be looking at both of them simultaneously. Emphasis might be one on the other by what you're talking, but it's still the same thing. Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say I'm showing you the technique of frying something in the pan. And while I'm frying, I'm also showing you how you move the spoon to, you know, move things around or flip things over. But that doesn't mean we're not discussing frying. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'm showing you about a lid, how you put the lid on, and then what that does, it still means we're frying. So the point is, the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva is the flaw. Then within that, we may be discussing Krishna, the living entity, the material world, the spiritual world, like this, the, you know, the name from called the pastimes of the Lord, name, all these, but it's all seen in that context. That's the philosophy. So that's what gives the uniqueness, is that each school, they have their particular way of interpreting. So our vision is Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. That will then make, that brings everything into proper perspective. See, is without that, then you're going to end up with so many other problems. Right? Because then it means the Lord has energies and he's non-different from the energies, but at the same time he's different. So the point is where he's the same, then that's how everything, the effectiveness and everything gets done, and you can see the Lord. How he's different, that's then how one has to see him as a person, as separate, and then through devotion, then you worship him. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why we're not, you know, worshiping a stone, you know, just a pillar or a wall or something like that. Because it is the Lord, but it's not him as a person. It's his transformation of his energies. So it is him, because there's nothing else other than him. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the big industrialist, he has a big factory. And so then the factory and all the workers, all the work that's going on, the products being made, the timelines, everything is there, is none other than him. But at the same time, you can't go up to one of the machines on the line and say, you know, hello, sir, how are you today? You know, I very much appreciate it. You can't do that. Does that make sense? But you can't not deal with it properly, thinking, oh, well, it's just him. Everything else is something else. Then you're offensive. So that's the whole thing, is that it's personal. So you have to know the personal aspect and the impersonal aspect, and the control of that impersonal aspect. So in other words, Super Soul is controlling the impersonal aspect. You know, he's a person, but the feature is him controlling the impersonal. The Bhagavan means it's about rasa and that relationship with the devotees. Does that make sense? So it's, it, yeah. Okay.
But Maharaj, can we say that for the Brahmavadis, they accept the Satkaryavad, but not the Parimana?
For them, everything is Brahman, so they don't necessarily make a distinction in that way. So whether they accept or not accept, I'm not sure. But the point is for them everything's Brahman, so it's all transcendental anyway. So for them the wall is transcendental, the people are transcendental and everything, but they can appreciate variety, so you deal with the different things differently. It's all Brahman, but they're going to deal with the person Brahman different from the wall Brahman. Yes.
My audience won't accept because they are dealing with the Vivartavas, as this is the illusional.
Yes, exactly.
But actually, Satkaryavas saying this is actually Lord Himself.
Yes.
So in the sense of this is temporary, but it is real.
Yes, yes.
Whereas they are dealing with this completely illusion.
Yes, and their idea is it's illusion. Mm. That's why Vivartavad, that's why they're Mayavadis. Yes. It's all Maya. Now within that, how they think it's Maya, then they'll have different schools. So there's three main schools. They have sub-branches, but these three main schools have been the ones that have been prominent. Anucheta 61. This is made clear in the following. So yamte bihitas tata bhagavan vishva bhavanaha samasena harer nanyad anyasmad sadasach chayat. Paramatma, maintainer of the universe, has thus been described in summary. The universe and jivas are none other than the Lord, but arise from the Lord who is different from them. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.50. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Since we generally have the experience of the temporary material world and conditioned souls trying to lord it over the material worlds, Brahmaji explained to Naradadev that this temporary world is the work of the external potency of the Lord, and that the conditioned souls struggling here for existence are the marginal potency of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. There is no cause for all these phenomenal activities but Him, Hari, the Supreme Lord, who is a primeval cause of all causes. This does not mean, however, that the Lord Himself is distributed impersonally. He is aloof from all these interactions of the external and marginal potencies. It means He Himself is not distributed impersonally. His impersonal feature is distributed impersonally. That's the point. For Him to be distributed impersonally, His personal form is still remains, because the personal form is the origin of the impersonal. Right. Yeah. He is aloof from all these actions of the external and marginal potencies. And in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, it is confirmed that by His potencies alone, He is present everywhere and anywhere. Everywhere that is manifested rests on His potency only. But He, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always aloof from everything. The potency and the potent are simultaneously one and different from one another. So whatever you see is manifest, it's resting on His potency. That potency is resting on Him. Yes. But the point is, there is a difference between Him and the potency. But at the same time, is there's a non-difference, because what's the meaning of potent if there's no potency? And potency has to have a source or a shelter. That's the potent. Right? One should not deprecate the Supreme Lord for the creation of this miserable world, just as one should not blame the king for creating a prison house in the government. The prison house is a necessary institution of the governmental establishment for those who are disobedient to the laws of the government. Similarly, this material world, full of miseries, is a temporary creation of the Lord for those who have forgotten Him and are trying to lord it over the false manifestation. He, however, is always anxious to get the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. And for this, He has given so many chances to the conditioned souls via the authoritative scriptures, His representatives, and personal incarnations also. Since He has no direct attachment to this material world, He is not to be blamed for its creation. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.50. So it's not that by expanding that He disappears, and it's not that because He's dealing with it that therefore he is to blame. You know, so that's the point, is that you have these two features, but if you take only one, you'll come up with one problem. You take only the other, you come up with another problem. So you have to deal with them both at the same time. That's why it's inconceivably simultaneously one and different. Because we will say, oh, it's this or it's that. And so we see you have a dwait. Because they go with everything's one, everything's different. They look at it as two different things. But it's still, there's going to be some problems there. If you deal with one, you deal with the other. Generally, that will take care of everything. Right? But the problem comes up is that for those who don't have that devotional faith, then they may not appreciate that. Does that make sense? The Lord has been described in summary, samasena. How? The secondary quality is described. He is the gross effect, sat, the conditioned jiva, consciousness, and the manifest universe, unconscious entity. He is the subtle cause, asat, the pure jiva, conscious, and pradhan, unconscious. He is different from, he is not different, na'anyat, from them, since he is the Shakti in the subtle aspect and the effect in the gross aspect. Right? The Shakti in the subtle, and the gross in the effect. Right? So, in other words, he, as the Shaktiman, has energies. They transform. That's how you get the gross. So he is the Shaktis in the subtle form. He is the what's manifest in the gross form.
Yes.
So you have the manifestation of all the elements within the creation, whatever it takes to put together, that is all Krishna. That's the universal form. That's the gross form. Does that make sense? So he is that, but at the same time as a person, he's separate. It's his energies that are arranging these things.
And from the conscious, the unconscious is manifested. Like the gross is unconscious.
Yes, but the point is it all comes from consciousness.
Yes.
He's the supreme consciousness. And then one of his energies is the unconscious energy.
Yes.
Right? And then the jivas, they're in between the conscious and the unconscious.
Yes. And if you don't understand that point of the origin of the unconscious is conscious, it's automatically what the natural scientists are doing.
Yes, they're trying to say that pradhan is the cause of life.
Yes.
So all the schools will say that, even the Mayavadis. Because they'll say Brahman is conscious, but we technically don't come from Brahman, we come from illusion.
Yes.
But the point is it's Brahman that's being covered that makes the illusion. So if you're covering a portion of Brahman, there's consciousness. So the point is that therefore we do exist.
Yes.
If Brahman exists, then we would exist. Yes. But they're saying no, because it's covered, it doesn't exist.
Yes.
You know? They'll say it's all illusion.
Yes.
But the point is if you're able to separate Brahman, that means there's some reality that can deal with Brahman that must exist. But they just say it's all in your imagination. So if it's all in your imagination, then none of this is happening anyway, so why are you worry about it? What's the point of making an endeavor?
Yes.
That's why you see is this impersonalism in Buddhism always ends up in sense gratification.
Yes.
Right, because if there's nothing, then it doesn't matter what we do.
Yes.
You know, they talk about controlling it for elevation, but then they're going to be frustrated in that also.
Yes.
So what will they do? Then they'll come back to, you know, the senses.
Yes.
Right, so you have the gross matter, right, you have the mind, and then you have the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Right, means nothingness. These three features we can relate to. On the material platform, that's what you have. So if you're focused on the material energy, that's karma. You're focused on the mind, that's going to be jnana. And then when you take that beyond that, then you focus on the opposite, or nothingness. Does that make sense? And when that doesn't work, you're going to come back to the gross matter. It's a cycle. Because why are they coming? You can say it's no, but you could go back to anyone you want. No. The gross matter is the natural inclination. Frustration with that, then you get into just the mind. Frustration with that, then you get into nothingness. Does that make sense? Hamsa has said, within this world, whatever is perceived by the mind, speech, eyes, or other senses, is me alone and nothing besides me. All of you, please understand this as it is. Right? So as it is means as he's explaining it, don't come up with some other idea. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.13.24. So you see this as it is used everywhere. It's not that Prabhupada just came up with some clever thing. But it's mentioned in Bhagavatam, the Acharyas mention it, Krishna's mentioned. Here, Krishna comes to himself as speaking. So as it is means how it's being spoken, the direct understanding, that's how you take it. So as it is means the direct meaning. Right? So then if we take, oh, okay, but that may not be understood, so we should take the literal meaning, because, you know, people will be looking at the Sanskrit and say, oh, this word means this, this word means that. But as it is means as it's being spoken, the direct meaning of what Krishna is saying. So then, if we're saying that the literal is different from that, because otherwise, technically, the literal should be the same. But if we're saying the literal is different from this, then that means we're using the literalness of mundane scholars. And so then that approach is mundane. It's already a faulty approach. Because Krishna's system is as it is, the Acharya's is as it is, and by Krishna Prabhupada's grace, we've been given as it is. Because literal technically means as I'd like it to be. You know? How you say? Shakespeare already wrote a full drama on this principle.
There is actually Spota Vala by Shankaracharya.
Spota.
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 So, yeah. So Vedas, as the vibration is going on, as the sound is going on, so individual elements, they are generating the meaning from their mind. And so that this is the meaning, literal meaning.
Oh, okay. So it's actually impersonalism.
Yeah. That was depicted by Madhvacharya and Ramakrishna.
Mm. So I was being more gracious. And just saying it's just a mundane academic, it's actually impersonalism. Though the Lord is non-different from the world, he does not contact the faults of the world, since he is also different. Anyasmat. Brahma spoke thus to Narada. Riti. The non-difference of the world from Paramatma is elucidated to King Yudhishthir by Narada Muni, where the sage begins his explanation by stating that the Lord is all the internal and external objects produced in this world. Thus, the material world, being the potency of the Supreme Lord, can't be designated as mitya, illusory. Right? So, you have to bring in that it's non-different because it means it's real. It's different means it's a different feature. Right? It's not the personal feature. It's a feature of him being Bhagavan. He is the person, has these shaktis. So, it's a manifestation of his shaktis. They may be direct or, you know, transformed or indirect. All these, that doesn't matter. But the point is it's shakti. Because, as Prabhupada points out, the expert electrician knows that electricity can heat and it can cool. Right? Someone else will think it's two different energies. No, it's one energy. So that's the point, is Sarup Shakti. His Sarup is the original, the Sarup Shakti. Then that is then what everything else is coming from. So that is non-different from him, you know, and so therefore it's real. But the difference is means it's not the person, him as a person. Maybe that transformation is, or that manifestation is a person, but it's not him as the person. It's different. Because if we say it's not him, then it's not real. Or if it is him, then he's material. So you see, it's just the misunderstanding in this gains all these other philosophies. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Anucheda 62. The non-difference is described with logic in 5 verses. Paramatma is what exists in the beginning and in the end. He is eternal and internal objects. He is superior and inferior objects. He is the senses, the sense objects, and the objects expressed by words. Paramatma produces ignorance and knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:15-57. Okay, so this is Narada to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Here the Vedic aphorism, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, is explained. It is also explained in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:9-33-36. Aham eva sam eva gre. The Supreme Lord existed in the beginning. He exists after the creation and maintains everything. And after destruction, everything merges in him. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Prakritim yanti mam ikam. Thus, the Supreme Lord is actually everything. In the conditioned state, we are bewildered in our understanding. But in the perfect state of liberation, we can understand that Krishna is the cause of everything. Right? So, that's the main thing, right? Sometimes it means it's there that you have all these technical, intellectual points that, you know, and techniques that are, you know, quite useful. But the understanding of the philosophy doesn't come through them. It's actually understanding Krishna. When you understand Krishna's position and his energies, then you understand. So if someone's saying something different from that, you can point out, no, it's not like that. You may be using very nice technical language and logic, or you may not. But the point is you can understand it. So it's not the logic that makes you understand. Because as we see, material logic can only take you up to the impersonal platform, at best. Right. Ishvara Paramakrishnas Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govindas Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. This is the perfection of knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.15.57 purport. Paramatma, the cause of all things, exists, sat, as the beginning of all bodies, jananam, being the cause and as the end, as the conclusion. He is himself eternal things to be enjoyed and external things to be enjoyed and internal objects, the enjoyer. He is superior and inferior. He produces ignorance, tamas, and knowledge, jyotihi. Others without his sanction cannot reveal anything on their own. So that means is on their own they can't reveal anything. So if we hear before, it's like bhakti is self-revealing, the name is self-revealing, the jiva is self-revealing, that's because of their being Krishna. Being Krishna or his energies, their connection with Krishna. And that's then the whole point. Sarvasambhadini. This Anucheda refutes destructive Vivartavad by explaining non-difference of the Lord with the effects, right? Because they're going to say it's all illusion, right? It's just Vivarta means it's illusion, you know. Or Brahman transforms Brahma Parinamavad, and so then you have a problem because now Brahman becomes transformed. So it's either Brahman transforms and now becomes material, or Brahman doesn't transform and it's all an illusion. So either of these aspects, whichever they focus on, and which different schools will focus on different aspects. But at some point, some part of the equation is not, it's not about the person. So therefore they become impersonal. Vriti. Having stated that the material creation is the potency of the Lord, Narad Muni next explains the reasons for the perception of duality in the material world. Just as the child thinks that the reflection of the sun is a different object from the source and thus perceives many suns, similarly the foolish materialists perceive variety of sense objects independent from the source, which is the Supreme Lord. Anucheda 63. Shamshaya. Why do things appear to be different from the Lord? Uttara. Abadhito pi yavaso yata vastu taya smritaha durgatatvad aindriyakam tavad arta vikalpitam. Just as reflections, though not independent, are accepted as real, so objects perceived by the senses are accepted as independent because of difficulty in proving them otherwise. Right? The reflections that, though not independent, are real. Right? Mm-hmm. But we are accepting them as independent. Yes. That's where the problem comes. Yes. Right? The reflection of the sun is there. It's dependent upon the sun. Yes. But the reflection, it's actually a real thing that you can reflect something. But because they think it's independent, now we think there's many suns. You know, just like you see, is, you know, everyone's saying there's one God, But, you know, their God is God. Someone else's, you know, there's only God is a different God.
Yes, yes.
So they can't understand these things.
So that concept is also influenced by Mayavada, actually, is it?
Yeah. Basically, anything that's not Vaishnavism is Mayavad philosophy. It's just that you emphasize it in one way, in one basis, then you have end up with one school. That way you get six schools that are not Vaishnavism. And all they're doing is taking various aspects of the Lord and making that important and leaving the Lord out of it. They're agnostic, means that they're not necessarily against the Lord. But at the same time, it's not theistic in that it's not fully properly appreciating the Lord and His position, the relationship. So all these different elements that they have, what they're working with, that will all be correct. But how they're interpreting it, that's where the problem comes in. Right? You know, just like Gotama is using logic. So logic is part of the Lord. It's one of His potencies, right? It would be part of the Vidya Shakti, right? But you can also use logic in the Avidya Shakti. Right? So then, but at the same time, is if you're using the logic to come to the conclusion that we're coming from pradhan, life comes from matter, then you've misapplied. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have a car. It works and does a certain thing. But if you take it out, you know, and in the parking lot, you just go around and go crazy and do, you know, skidding around and scaring people and that's the wrong use. So that's where the problem comes in, is mechanically it looks the same, but it's not. So, you know what I'm saying? It's the same in that mechanics, but the intent makes it something else. So even though all the six schools are based on the Veda and are using the Vedic shlokas, in religion, basically they're all, you know, agreeable. Though they'll emphasize their area. You know, the Shankarites will say the renunciation, the karma, the Jaimini will say about the karma. You know, others will be yoga, Shankya, all these different aspects. But basically, culturally, they can get along. Right? So religion-wise, then there's a commonality. But in philosophy, how they're interpreting what's the vision of all this and how to use it, that's where the difference comes in. But being from the Veda, there'll be some points that are common between certain schools and some points that are not. So some schools, two or three schools, may have the same point. But another point, they're different. So that's how you end up with six schools. So six schools will be from that combination of the Vedic elements, what kind of bogusness you could get, that's what they are. And within them, then you see as you have various breakdowns and all that. So from these six, they're the basis of all other bogus philosophies. But it's not that you can say, okay, this school comes in here or that there, necessarily. There'll be some elements that make it prominent, but they may be taking something from somewhere else also. So that's the thing, is that, you know, every Muni has his own idea. Right, so therefore you see every bogus guru all has his own idea. You know, some little difference, some little twist.
It has to be original.
Yeah, it has to be original, that's it.
So it doesn't sell.
It doesn't sell, yeah, because then you're the same as that guy, so why? You know, it's just like you had the one guy with the big frizzy hair. Like that. No one else had big frizzy hair, so he was unique, you know. Everybody else had the long hair and beard, and but he had frizzy hair, so he was different. So he got the most followers. No? It means literally. Yeah. So if you look at them, they each have something unique. Okay. Yeah, they're individuals, so they will be unique. You know? They're trying to say it's all one, but they're all different. Right? Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The impersonalists try to prove that the varieties in the vision of the empiric philosopher are false, right? So that's the thing, is they're saying that all these reflections, they're false. They're not, they're different from the sun, so they're false. But we're pointing out, no, they're different from the sun, but they're real because they're coming from the sun. Right? So, in their philosophy, trying to turn people away from materialism, then that aspect of negation and all that, then it has its validity. But the problem is they're having to use an improper understanding to achieve that, when you don't have to do that. Right? The point is it is Krishna's, but unless it's engaged in Krishna's service, its effect will bind you to the material world. Using Krishna's service, it won't bind you. Right? So that means the karmis, what they say, and the jnanis, what they say, then each have their own separate idea. But bhakti already includes them in their proper position. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's like you see, is you have the item itself, how it's dealt with, and you're dealing without attachment. So dealing without attachment in karma or naishkarmya, then that's going to, both schools are represented. Right? Like that. So now but the point is, it's about connecting to the Lord. Right? So, and it's about detachment. But if you connect to the Lord but you're attached, then you're going to get bhakti mista karma. But because it's connected, it'll have some value. Like that. But it'll be slow. Right? Because of the obstacles. But now if you think that you don't see it in connection to the Lord. Or you know, you take it just the Lord is a material energy and he's not transcendental, then you're going to have a problem. So if you just focus on the material energy without connecting with the Lord, and you're attached, that's then the complete opposite. That's the gross materialism. Right? And then some try to deal with the gross materialism with detachment for future benefits. That's karma. Right? Karma kanda. You know, or they deal with detachment, but they don't actually engage with the activities. So we're using both together. Does that make sense? So it's quite unique. You know, bhakti is the origin. But what we're used to here, it's unique. But in the spiritual world, that's the standard. That's how everything works. So the material world is slightly different. You know, it'd be like, let's say in the material world. Okay, let's say you have a petty thief. Right? He just steals small things, you know? Then you have, let's say, a car thief. Okay? Then you have a murderer. Okay. Now in the general society, who's the worst?
Murder.
The murderer. Then the, you know, the, what do you call it?
Car thief.
Yeah. What's that called? What's that? They made a game out of that. No. Yeah, it's whatever it is. But it's considered very serious.
Grand theft auto,
yeah. You can be a thief, but you're not a thief. From the privacy of your own home, you can be a thief and no one gets bothered. Yeah, so you see how it goes. But now, if you're in the prison, who's the most respectful?
Murder.
The murderer. He's the one that tells people what to go, because he's the biggest criminal. So, in both cases, they're the biggest criminal, but in one, they're the lowest, and the other, they're the highest. So that's how the material world works. You know, so you just, we give our own interpretation. So, yeah.
Maharaj, here Lord also has a feature, Bhagavan, Brahman and Paramatma.
Yes.
So that is in the order of Paramatma and then Brahman. But whereas it's in the material world, actually the same Paramatma as a now become immediate cause, upadana karma. Hmm. Whereas Brahman become the efficient cause. That means...
I would say is Brahma, in one sense you can say, but Brahman is also is the, means both are there. In other words, Krishna is both. He's the upadana. He's the ingredients, but he's also the efficient. He makes it work. But the control of that is done as Paramatma, because he's the controller of his energies, because the energies are doing the work. But it's based on Brahman, because that's where all the impersonal qualities are. Right? You can't make something out of quality lists. You have to have qualities. But if you're making generic, you're making the concept of horse. It's a generic quality, but you're still taking from the impersonal qualities. Right? So that's the difficulties. They can't understand impersonal has qualities. Because they're taking it impersonal without the person. But we understand is the impersonal is simply an expansion of the person. It's the effulgence of Krishna. It's the effulgence of his qualities. But it just means their general qualities. His greatness, his supremeness, his all-pervadingness, his like that. But those are impersonal. But then they're applied to make all the individual variety that there is. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you go, in Sri Rangam, you have the 1,000-pillared mandap. The pillars are impersonal. It's 1,000 pillars. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you have this one's Devadatta, and that one's Narahari, and this one's this, and that one's that, and oh, come meet my friend, this one over here, no. You know what I'm saying? It's just 1,000 of them. But that's the thing, we think this impersonal can't have any shape or form. That's bogus. Impersonal just means general. People in a crowd, that's impersonal. It's made up of individuals. So that's the actual point, is that the crowd is made up of individuals. And that's coming from the Supreme Lord. The person, then there's the general, and within that's the person. Yes.
Nowadays, it's like exactly this technique is used very much in media.
And it's
given like, oh, that's the proof. They said like this, or the scientists said.
It's always like that.
But it gives like to people it gives impression, oh, it's authorized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So based on Shastra, we may also use that same kind of technique, because you're saying the Mayavadis and that. And so we're using a generic because there's so many schools of Mayavad, so we deal with all. They have certain basic principles that work. So scientists is basic principles in that. But I would say is that's a kind of a general thing, because then you're using, that's also an aspect of knowledge, is that what's generally accepted by the people. It's one of the things. It's a subsection of Shabda and what do you call it, Pratyaksha. But so we just have three. But many put the fourth one, like that, history and all these kind of things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a portion of that. So it can be used. The difficulty comes down is anybody who's not agreeing with us is them. And anybody who does agree with us is an individual. Oh, this poor individual, he was disturbed by the them. So they very much emphasize that the them is not personal. Mm-hmm. They're just the embodiment of bad qualities. Mm. And the person is the individual who's being affected by all those bad qualities. That's where they really make trouble. Yeah. So depending upon the particular inclination of the particular social media, then it will have that flavor. It'll be pro or con a particular stance. So you have medias that are specifically conservative, medias that are specifically liberal. And they have no bones about explaining, their perspective, and it's always like that. So that this news company, it's always this. This news company is always that. Yeah. Then there'll be the ones that will say, yeah, but they're kind of like this. Then these are like the proper ones. But all it is that they're better at hiding what their opinion is. Like that. They're more subtle, they're more like that. They can tend to be. And so within that is the media itself is giving a general, though they might have articles that are specifically what they want to say. Because if somebody writes an editorial, that's his opinion. But you're carrying it in your magazine or your paper.
Yeah.
But it's not your headlines. Your headlines are more general than that, you know, the storm is over, weather is clearing up today, you know, that kind of stuff. Leaves, unlimited leaves all over the ground after yesterday's storm, you know, that kind of stuff. You know? And then in the editorial, it'll bring out what they want to say. But in other ones, the headlines is, you know, this guy's a bogus, you know, or this guy's an idiot, or, you know. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, they're making whatever is on their opinion, they're all people. And whatever is not their opinion, they're all non-individuals. So that's why you have to be very, very careful. That's why then Krishna's making the point in 11th canto, is that the emphasis on right and wrong, you can't focus on that too much. You can only it's useful in the connection with you as a person, how you are going to practice, or someone else going to practice Krishna consciousness in relationship with Krishna as a person. But as soon as we get off too much into it, even though technically it might have factual validity, but the point is its usefulness in your Krishna consciousness becomes less and less viable. Because now you're just looking at what's wrong rather than what you should do. Right, so pointing out what's wrong is only valuable in how much it shows what's right. Right? What should be done. But just to point out it's wrong and just leave it at that, that's destructive. That's the mode of ignorance. That's nihilism. You just break down authority. But what are they replacing it with? Oh, we'll all be friends. Okay, how are you all friends? How do you define that? No, we'll just be nice to each other. How do you define nice? You know, why don't you understand what we're talking about? Why don't you get in the mood? You know, so it's just a feeling. But that feeling is coming from, it's just a quality of Brahman. Niceness. Because it doesn't have a personal application. You know, and sometimes if someone shows an expression of niceness that others can relate to, then they become the example of niceness. So then you have to do like they do. Mm-hmm. Right? But because they're nice, they're doing that. If you just do what they do, you may or may not become nice. Mm-hmm. Especially if you do it and then you expect people recognize you for that. Yes. Then it's not about niceness. You won't become nice. You'll just become proud. So that's the difficulty, how do you apply that? Does that make sense? You know, so sometimes they have certain things, but most of the time you see it's just, it's either specifics is breaking down things, but in applying things in a positive way, it tends to be a bit too general. So,
is it that nowadays they use also a lot of, how to say, computerized systems? Is it like a further step in generalization, is impersonal?
In that, well, when it comes to the computers, and people prefer it that way. If the internet is taking your data, do you want it to be connected with you as an individual, or just be part of statistics that can tell us, oh, people like this or people like that, so we should make this available and that we don't have to? So in other words, they're dealing with you impersonally, you prefer to be dealt with impersonally. You know, and your involvement with others, your friends with this one or contacts with that one and appreciate this and like that. But the point is, you know, are you responsible? What if they come back to you and say, okay, well, why did you like, or, you know, what's the thing? You know, some people will be happy to say and some people won't. Because we don't have a real understanding of what's personal. Personal means our relationship with Krishna. That's personal. Because we say, no, but we're also being personal in my relationship with my family and friends and community. But you're not relating with the soul, so you're relating with dead matter. How is that personal? You know what I'm saying? How is that personal? So that's the problem, is that the mundane culture is impersonal, inherently. They'll try to claim that they're personal, but it's personal based on impersonal foundation. With any impersonalism, you're trying to be more nice. You know, it's like, let's say, you know, salespersons. You know, they come to your door, they try to be really nice. They would rather not be nice. You know, they don't feel it, but that's what you have to do to, like that. So you have to put a veneer of personalism on top of impersonalism. The foundation is impersonal. And we see as everything but Vaishnavism is like that. So even in the Veda, if they're not Vaishnavs, it's also the foundation is impersonal in their consciousness. But the Veda itself, that they're based on Veda, that's a better situation, because from there they can more easily understand the, you know, what's proper and improper in the way of religious activities to perform. And so in that way their life is regulated in that, and they can move forward whatever their path more easily. And if they come to devotional service, then it works very, very nicely. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that aspect itself, then that's why then someone following the Veda culture will be better situated than someone not following. But having taken up devotional service, it doesn't matter the background. Because that commitment, that surrender to Krishna, that's what you're looking for. Now, the one who hasn't, it may or may not be easier or more, you know, it may tend to be more difficult because there's no practice in proper religiosity. Right? But at the same time, as someone who is from that background, they may become easily distracted that performing, acting in my natural pious way, that's devotional. Right? Because for the one, they can see this is devotional, this is not. So therefore, then it is looked at, I don't have a lifestyle that's devotional, the background, or not Vedic. So therefore, then direct activities of devotional service, that's obviously spiritual. But the indirect, they have no religious background to show how to connect that, necessarily. Some might have this aspect or that aspect, but it won't be as complete as the Vedic. But, you know, some, if they're more traditional families, there's a touch more. You know, like respect of authority and have duties and stuff like that. So it's like the Vedic, but without the basic understanding. It's just tradition and the family and just, oh, that's what's good and that's what you should do. But they can't say that, no, this is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So it doesn't have that sound. More easily it can be removed. Mm-hmm. Well, for the Gita, it sticks, right? So then, yes, so then in the indirect, that's where the problem will be. But in the direct, that's for them, that spiritual life, that's what they'll do. And so, in one sense, that's fine. But if you need to deal with indirect, you have to be able to accommodate that. But you don't have any background in it, so it's not going to come on its own by separate practice. It's only because of your dealing with the direct, then you will have some appreciation of then you'll have appreciation of the religious. Right? It's only through chanting that we get the others. So it's just like us. By our own qualities, we don't qualify for second initiation. I mean, it's just like, you know, not a snowball's chance in hell. But because of chanting the holy name and associating with the Vaishnavas and serving the Lord, you know, serving the deity and all these different aspects, then you see as we start to develop the qualities where now we become qualified. But it's because of chanting, then we have the Gayatri, you know, initiations, right? So, in the same way, as because of the direct activities of devotional service, then the qualifications to function in the indirect will come, will happen. That's why it says the devotee, you know, naturally manifests all the good qualities of the demigods. So, by devotional service, these qualities all come. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that will work nicely. But you have to be aware that Prabhupada talks about these things, be appreciative of these things, not be, you know, how you say, dedicated to not following these things. So when Prabhupada talks about Varnashram, we may not understand it, we may not know how to use it, but as we get purified and we can, then we start using it. We can't say, oh no, we don't care for all these things. And it's kind of like, then who cares for you? Yeah, when you come and sit and chant your japa, then okay, that's good. But as soon as you stop and walk off, who cares for you? Because you have no idea how to connect that to Krishna. Right? And that's fine, you don't know, because they'll chant a little bit, they'll do this and that, they'll try to keep the direct activities going, but they have trouble. Like, how do you do that at work, or how, like this and that. But, you know, at their home, you can do a little more, you can have pictures, you can have a kirtan, you can put on some music, you know, you can read, you can do this. But outside of that, very difficult. Right? So that we appreciate, that they're trying their best. But if someone has a philosophy that, no, we don't do this, it's not for us, we're Westerners. That person right there, as soon as they stop chanting their japa, they have no value for this movement. It means like zero. They're not adding. In fact, they're going against the movement.
Isn't it that actually they are doing offense against the direct?
Yes. No, well, that, I don't necessarily have to take it that far.
Okay.
Like that, because it's not, you know, give a dog a bad name and hang him, or here, give a swan a bad name and then, you know, kick him out of the pond or something.
No need to hang.
Yeah. So the whole point is here is that you're seeing that when they're doing the direct activities, that they identify as that's devotional service and that, but everything else they don't identify as devotional service, and they don't accept the Vedic methods for engaging it as the acharyas have given. So therefore, then they will find that they're not very effective in those areas. So we can't take their opinion or their example. But as devotees, well, they'll be respected and everything like that. But the point is their example and that will be of no value to anybody. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
But if there's someone who doesn't have a philosophy like that and they're trying to do something like that, then that's always good.
Better.
That's better. But you see, is that so if it's being cultivated, then those who understand more, they're explaining, others then are understanding, they're trying to apply it into their life. And in this way, it starts to grow as a culture, as a society. That's all right. So that's how you see it. When devotees do like that, then if they have to be aware of these things, and so devotees just write off the thing. So that's the weakness, because they don't know about it beforehand. They also don't think it's important. So... The thing that gives them the strength that they focus on the direct, because that's the only thing they have that they can relate to as spiritual. And it is directly spiritual. But the indirect, they can't see as spiritual because they have no experience of it. Right? If their background, what is Christian clothes? Christian food? You know, how does a Christian go to bed or get up? How do they brush their teeth or use the toilet? You understand? They're nothing. Just be a nice guy, have faith, you know, in Jesus, and that's it. And that's good. That's a core principle. But it means anything indirect, they have no idea how to connect it. Right? So then, if you don't have any idea and you keep that humble attitude, then as you become purified, then you see how it works, then you'll take it up and naturally progress. That would be the natural progression. But if in not seeing it because of the background, now you say it's not important, and as there is opportunity to use it, you won't use it, now we have a problem. Now we have a weed, a very big weed. You know? Does that make sense? So now we have an obstacle to devotional service. So you see, it gives the strength in that. That's all. So they'll just do that, the focus on the direct. But it makes it that the rest of their life is a problem. Like you see, early days, Prabhupada talked about Varnashram, but didn't emphasize it. But he'd talk about it whenever it comes up. Because just the devotees, what would be there, what little bit is necessary, they'd pick up in their temple life. But as we saw, that devotees had need to go beyond just sitting and chanting Hare Krishna, then Prabhupada started emphasizing the need for Varnashram. Because they want to be householders, they want to have jobs, they want to have money, they want to be independent, they want, lab puja pratishta, they want these things. And so therefore, how to engage in Krishna service, that's the Veda culture. So Prabhupada started talking about it. But by that time, then devotees are thinking, no, we don't need this, we chant Hare Krishna, then why is Prabhupada talking about it? Right? So that's one side. Right? Now, those who don't come from a Vedic background or a, let's say, strict religious background. Because if someone comes from a strict religious background, they can understand you have rules. So therefore, then, okay, Vaishnavas have a bit more rules, but they're willing to follow something. They have an understanding that there is some regulation in that, and so they'll do it a little bit better. They generally won't make any trouble. They may or may not be very good at it. They may catch it, they may not, but at least they're willing to go along with it. You know, like that. Now, if you have those who come from a proper Vedic background, then they're going to... One is that, you know, that there is spiritual life, it's part of their training. So they're going to be, you know, as soon as they see that the weakness in this in the material, then they'll take it up. All right? But and so in that way then if they take it up very seriously, and then the indirect aspects, they've been following what the Vedic recommends, they'll just do that in connection with Krishna, and then that's very wonderful. It makes it very easy for them, they advance very quickly, they can take very much a leading position in doing things, as they understand how to deal with the direct and indirect. So that will be the strong point. So they have that philosophy with the religion. Well, the others have the philosophy, and the religion will take a little while to catch up. So it's naturally a better position. That's why then Lord Chaitanya said that those who are born in India, it's their job to preach this around the world, because they have both. Around the world, then they have nothing, and you can give them the one, and then slowly the other will come. But at the same time as the weakness, Krishna says they can get distracted by the mode of goodness. So they may not make the distinction between the direct and indirect. And so therefore the indirect, because they're doing it religious, they'll think that that itself is the main thing. Be nice, do all your duties, take care of the family, and all these kind of things like that. And so they're very pious. But then they won't put as much emphasis on the direct activities. And they'll elevate the indirect beyond what its position is. Direct, indirect is always secondary, direct is primary. So then you can get that kind of a problem. They make an emphasis of that. You know, just like we were saying the other, they're innocent, so therefore they see the direct, they don't know about the indirect because they have no previous experience of anything like that regulating your life. You know? Rather than your mom bought a box of Cheerios instead of cornflakes, so you're going to eat Cheerios, you'd rather eat cornflakes. You know, so your life is regulated, you know. But other than that, then there's not a whole lot going on. You know, you have to be at school at 9 o'clock, you get out at 3 or 4, like this. You know, a few things regulate, but not a whole lot. All right? And you just see those in practical things. You don't necessarily bring that all into your life. But in any case, they're innocent, they take these things, and the other things, they do the best they can. Many times, culturally, they do things that are stupid. But with time, as they get purified, then it can start to develop. Right? Same with the others. Like we said, they're already the indirect activities, their life is going on, that material aspect, the piety is there, then they add into the Krishna consciousness, that becomes the prominent, and then with time they start seeing all the indirect properly in line with Krishna consciousness, though they're already practicing it. So they're already, in that sense, ahead. You know what I'm saying? So that's always going to be better. But, as we said is that they become, proud of their position or this or that they're doing the direct, and the indirect has no importance. They'll emphasize the one, which is good, but the other aspect they'll not agree with. And that's fine if it's, because I always say, if you have the guy who's the hardcore book distributor, you know, out on Sanctadon, has nothing, keeps nothing, needs nothing, you know, just, you know, whatever comes along, they eat like that. They make these comments, you kind of have to tolerate. It's not a broad understanding, but at least they're living what they say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But other than those few individuals like that, those hardcore, tough, skinny, you don't want to look at them too closely because, you know, they don't know what they're going to, because they're really generally very powerful and yes, like that. But anybody else is just saying, oh, we don't need this and this. But they're living the life of a grihastha. They're living the life of someone who deals with all the material energy. And then saying it's not important to connect it to Krishna. So then they're just saying, Krishna is this. But what about his expanding is the material world? It's all him. How do you engage that in Krishna service? So they don't see that aspect.
And a senior South Indian devotee, he said that he is actually, he likes the Varnashrama. He said that everything is in Varnashrama. So as Lord is there in every rock, so we need to say that Krishna, so why are you doing all the japa on that? So he's a devotee, he's initiated devotee. Then I have asked him that, okay, you have taken the vow of doing the japa.
Mm-hmm.
So then as per Varnashrama itself, you have to follow the vow.
Mm-hmm.
At least you are not doing that, you are breaking that.
Mm-hmm.
So you are not doing the japa. And now, not only that, you are also insisting others to stop chanting.
Mm-hmm. So now she started chanting?
He's not at all. He said that he was, so with this argument he was go away. He made a obeisance, that's it. Mm-hmm. But he's not, but he's actually a nice worker in the sense of Varnashrama, he works really
effectively. Yes, it's karmi. That's what it's called, the karmi. That's an actual karmi.
Yes.
The others,
yes,
we call everybody karmis, but technically they're vikarmis.
Yes, yes. So you would focus like maybe 18 hours like that to work. So work in the sense of, like you said, he's working on the weed. So big weed, you said.
Yes,
so
yes, very big weed. Like that.
It looks like he's in devotion, but he's actually on the weed.
Yeah, yeah, he's cultivating the weed. And if he was living in Acapulco or in Thailand, then he'd be very rich. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the difficulty. So then there is the overemphasis is on the... So it's the same thing where you have the one who follows the Vedic. If he lacks that simplicity, you know, in the character, then he may take it that the religious side is the main thing. Because we're following this, that makes us superior. And those who are not following, they're inferior. So therefore, those from India who are following, or even those, we're from this kind of family, therefore we're superior. He's from that kind of family, they're inferior. They're from the West, that's another thing. Then they get that, and so the emphasis becomes there. So... Does that make sense? You know, like that. Or thinking, unless the Varnashram is there, you can't have the bhakti. That's a weakness, because bhakti is independent. That's why you can have people that are following the direct activities of bhakti and not any indirect, and they still progress. Right? Well, somebody who just follows the indirect and doesn't follow the direct, they're in a worse position. Therefore, verse, what is it? You know, what? Sat karma nipano vipro. You know, the Brahmin who's following all the different things, but if he's not a devotee,
yes,
then, you know, there's no point. But the Chandala who takes up devotional service, he's better. That's why those verses are given. That's Vedic. That's not just Bhagavatam says that. This is, you know, everybody will say this. So this is the point, is each one has their strength, each one has their weakness. Because they'll take the Varnashram is important, but maybe the direct activity is not as important. Well, the other ones will take the direct activity is important, but the Varnashram is not as important. So one accepts the philosophy without the religion, right? So they get mental speculation. The other accepts the religion without philosophy, therefore they get sentiment. So then you can also tell them, okay, if it's all Krishna, it's all a rock, so therefore, you know, why do we have to worship Krishna and all that? It's about your wife and your rock are the same. Why you have to take care of your wife? You know, if you just put a few rocks in your house, How much cheaper it would be. You know, you could get yourself a studio apartment, save so much money. It doesn't have to be in a fancy area because the rocks don't care. You know, how much money you'd have. But at the same time, as money is also, it's all like that. So what does it matter? So you don't need money. So he should just go to the Himalayas.
Yeah, actually, their goal is like that only. So until they satisfy their attachment within the Varnashrama.
But why are they satisfying attachment? Because it's all the same. It's not Krishna says in the Gita. You know, the dog eater, the, you know, it's all the same. So, you know.
I try to convince him anyways.
Yeah, no. Point. That's the point. If they're attached to the mode of goodness, they get attached to the mode of goodness. And that, and get that means, and so then they become that sense of mode of goodness that they're doing okay. Because goodness, then you don't feel so bad. When passion comes up, you can see it coming, going like this, and ignorance, and you're just in ignorance. You don't know what's good. You know what's bad is just normal, so you can't tell. So it's unless you come in contact with the devotees, then what can you do?
Yeah, that's actually hidden mentality of the proper Mayavadi philosophy. So even I know the very famous. Mayavadi, so they say that Sahasravadani also means at the time we can deal with 1,000 persons. So he is very famous and he says to our Andhra people, group people mainly, that actually means when their group of people is saying, okay, we have to take the worship of Vishnu also. So then he asked, why we need to take the worship of Vishnu? Because Brahman or getting into Brahman is our goal. Then he said, individually we have to stop. Later we will drop this.
Yeah, they all say that. Because you're only taking help because you can't, they can't focus. See, as the soul being a person, you can't focus on something that's not personal.
Yes.
And so therefore then they take the help of that. They use the Panchopasana as the basis. And so then that way they keep themselves busy. And then they say they'll drop it. So
they're exactly taking the secondary as primary and primary as secondary.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that. So we have to see is that both of these are a problem. So both of these are addressed through this achinta beta beta tattva and the satkaryavada and the transformation. These features is that it is Krishna, but it's different from Krishna. So therefore it is Krishna, but he still as a person is different from that rock. And the same thing as you said, is it is Krishna, but at the same time as he's manifest through his creation, and you're working in his creation, why not acknowledge Krishna there? And so therefore, how would you do that? So Krishna, how would you deal with Krishna as the car, or as the house, or as the family? You know, you're not going to deal with him badly, because it's Krishna. But there's a difference, so you're not going to every day get out there and do an arti to your car.
Only one day.
Only one day.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.